How are we doing this morning?
I don't know about you. I think it is way colder all of a sudden. Could be because I shaved my head. But it is really cold. So we're starting Advent, you know, and week one, the candle of hope is being lit, and we're going to be talking about finding hope in the presence of Christ, our long-awaited King. And we have this hope through Jesus Christ in our life. And this morning we're coming into Advent where we remember and celebrate the promise of the coming Messiah in our lives. But it is a time of waiting and preparation. And just as they read this morning, as Pastor Sean and Trina read, waiting is not our strong suit anymore. Our culture is so full of what's happening next, what's the next best thing, this greatest invention, this new thing, how fast can you get your Starbucks coffee? We order now before we even get there and we pick it up. You know, we don't even stand in line anymore to pick it up. We order on the phone and we walk in, swoop, pick up our cup, and we're gone. But the thought of waiting just sometimes really just irks us, right? In the Old Testament, there's many instances that reflect on the promise that they were waiting to be fulfilled. In Micah 5:2, it prophesies that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and it's something that they were waiting on. Isaiah 7:14 prophesies that the Messiah would be born to a virgin and called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And they were waiting on this. In Zechariah 12:10, prophesies that the Messiah would be pierced, reflecting his death on the cross for our sins. And they were waiting. And as we come this morning, we're going to just come to this realization that our true hope and presence is found in Christ alone. So even in times of uncertainty, in times that we are going a mile a minute, that we are just heading forward, it's this hope in Christ that anchors our souls, that just anchors us to His foundation. And His presence guides our steps every day. So today I want to kind of look at three areas of this process of hope and finding hope in the presence of Christ. So first we're going to discuss the promise of hope that was prophesied by Isaiah. And then we're going to look into the assurance of Christ through His continuous guidance and presence in our life. And then talk to us about this transformative power that the hope in Christ gives us from trusting in Him. So our first point this morning is the promise of hope. Isaiah 9:6 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So these verses anticipate the birth of an incredibly significant child, Jesus Christ. One who carries divine responsibilities, but also these titles, and embodying both human flesh, but divine nature. And Isaiah's prophecy portrays Jesus as a profound source of hope that represents salvation in our life, that represents divine intervention. So if we look at each title, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, it reveals a unique aspect of Christ and His character and His ability to guide, protect, and bring lasting peace in our life. And that is this hope that we have. So, quick question, just thinking of that, those titles that we just read, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How do these influence your life? How do these titles influence you? In times of hardship, do you seek His guidance? Do you rely on His strength? And do you find solace in His peace? And are you living in Him? And through the challenges in your life, are you focused on the hope that Jesus provides when we accept Him into our life and begin to follow His will? Because through Christ we have hope, and He provides that hope to us. So we are promised hope in Christ. In this anticipating, in this waiting, they were promised hope. But what's amazing, what we can celebrate right now is, yes, we go through Advent, we celebrate, we talk about the anticipated coming of Christ. But Christ came. Christ lived. Christ died for our sins. Christ conquered death. Christ was risen again. And we get to celebrate that. So the hope of waiting in Christ is here. You can receive that hope in your life. We have Christ. And if you accept Him into your heart, you can receive the hope that He gives, because He has promised it. And when He promises, when there's this promise of anticipated hope through Jesus Christ, through His birth, through His life, He also promised His ever-present guidance. So it's not just receiving and saying, good, you got it, go. Christ promised that He would be present and guide us in our life. So in Matthew 28:20, it says, when He's talking to His disciples, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The hope we have in Christ is that He is with us every day. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the people around you, regardless of friends that may show up one day and fall off the radar the next, Christ is present in our life. Christ is guiding us in our life if you choose to accept Him. If you choose to receive Christ in your life, He has promised that He will always be there. He has promised that He will continue to guide you in your life through the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us. So Jesus promised His followers an ongoing presence, even after His resurrection and ascension, ensuring this continual relationship with Him, because they anticipated hope and they hoped for the arrival of Christ. They heard through all these prophecies of what would happen, and they watched it unfold, and we're continuing. But Jesus promised a continual relationship. Even to this day, we have a relationship with Christ. We can receive Him in our heart. We can live with Him every day. And that hope that we have in Him is provided to us. The phrase "to the very end of the age" is a powerful testament to His eternal presence, reassuring us and reassuring believers that they are never truly alone. And His presence is a constant guide throughout all times and circumstances. It doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter the situation you're in. It doesn't matter what you might think that you are alone. Because if you've accepted Christ, He is with you. And all you have to do is just call on Him and pray, Lord, be with me. And He is with us. His presence, He is with us to the very end of the age. So in our times of doubts, feelings of isolation, remember the promise that we are provided as a source of hope
a source of strength, and a source of reassurance. We should be actively engaging in prayer to embrace Christ's guidance. We should be actively talking and speaking in our relationship. Have you guys noticed that some of the best relationships, if not the best relationships in the world, are all built around what? Communication. When we don't communicate with our spouse, with our boyfriend, with our girlfriend, with whoever we're with, when we don't communicate with them, the relationship kind of is strained. One person's thinking one thing. The other person's thinking the other thing. They can't figure it out. They're wondering, why is this so tough? Why is this so hard? And then you get into these conversations and you're like, oh, that's what you meant? I should have asked you an hour ago. I didn't know. Just communication. So we need to communicate with Christ. We need to pray. How many of us actively pray in our life? And I'm not talking about just dinner. Dear Lord, bless this food to our body. Allow us to not get sick. Dear Lord, pray that we have a good trip. Pray that we are safe on the road. Yes, do we do that? But I'm asking you, how many of us are actually communicating with God through everything? Through the little things? Through your day, just walking around and saying, God, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I feel crummy today, and I don't know why. Will you give me strength? Will you give me reassurance? Just praying with him. In the older days, in the days before cell phones, some of you younger people have no idea what that is. Talking out loud while you're walking was looked at as like, who's that crazy person? Everyone nowadays walks around talking out loud because they either have an earpiece in or something like that. So don't feel worried if you want to communicate with God. Just put your little AirPod in. You don't have to turn it on. Just be like, yeah, how are you doing today? And hope all is well. Just wanted to check in. Just wanted to let you know today stinks. I don't know why. And just, would you help me? Somebody walking by is like, man, they're having a pretty serious conversation with their friend. It's like, yes, I am. My friend Jesus Christ. So when we have that in our life, what if we put an earphone in? And then you're not worried, right? That might have been Jesus. You never know. Should have answered that. Should have communicated with him. But what excuse do you have? What excuse do you have to not communicate with Christ in your day? Can you think of an excuse? Oh, I'm scared that somebody's going to look at me weird. So what? Yeah, they look at, we're a bunch of weird people. Are you worried about speaking out loud and somebody noticing? Why? I would hope somebody would be like, man, who is that person you're having a conversation with? Oh, big man upstairs. He's on speed dial. I talk to him all the time. I don't even dial his number. We just have an open communication. But we need to communicate. We have this promise of hope. We have this promise of peace with the Lord. We have Christ in our life who says, come with me, be with me, live with me, obey me. How can we do that if we don't communicate with him? How can we do that if we don't pick up our Bible and read about him? We've talked about this before. How can we know who Christ is if you're not interested in knowing who Christ is? If you go to somebody and you talk to them and they say, oh, I know who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again on the third day. And that's great. I would be like, that's great. I'm glad that you know who Jesus is. But I'm asking if you know Jesus in your life. because I know about, no, I don't, because I can't think of their name. Okay? But pick a sports team. Pick your favorite sports team. You know, I'm going to say Wayne Gretzky, hockey. I know of Wayne Gretzky. If I looked it up and I learned about him and we talked about him, I would know that he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, right? But do I know Wayne Gretzky? No. How many of us walk around the world, walk around our lives, just regurgitating what everyone knows about Christ? But have you ever actually spent time with the Lord in your life? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you communicate with Him? Do you know Jesus Christ on an intimate level? Because that's the difference. Most people know my wife. I'm going to pick on you for a minute. I'm sorry. Most people know my wife. She's a registered nurse. You'd probably be like, yeah, she's a nurse. She works in Vallejo. She's Pastor Ian's wife. I'm glad you know my wife. But do you know Megan? Do you know her? I know her. I better. I know her little quirks. I know when she needs a cup of coffee before she tells me. I know when she needs to go lay down. I know when she needs to just stop and sit, even if she doesn't know she needs to stop and sit. But it's because I know my wife. I'm asking if you know Jesus Christ that way in your life. Do you truly know Him? Because the hope that He provides is through a relationship with Him. So just knowing about Him, knowing attributes about Him, and saying you're a Christian and saying, oh, I know Jesus Christ. Do you truly know Him? Because I should strive as the husband in my family, the father in my household, the head of my household, I should strive to know Jesus Christ better than I know my wife, better than I know my children. Why? Because when I know Jesus Christ to that intimate level, I will know how to treat my wife. I will know how to raise my children. I will know how to give them hope in something because I am supposed to reflect Jesus Christ to them. And our family together are supposed to reflect Jesus Christ to the world. So men, are you in an intimate relationship with Christ for your family? Wives, are you in an intimate relationship, or girlfriends or whatever? Are you in an intimate relationship with Christ in your life to support your husband? So I say that just because I want us to understand knowing Christ and knowing who He is in our life and having a relationship with Christ is different than what most people are talking about when they say they know about Jesus. A lot of us know about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? Do we know the hope that He brings through His life? And how do we know His life if we don't learn about it? We don't talk about it, if we don't pray? In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And this is from the Apostle Paul. When he's going through his own suffering, he's reminding them to fix their eyes on the Lord. Because He went through a lot. He was imprisoned. And a lot of people looking in would go, how are you still happy? How are you still, like, making it every day? Your life looks horrible right now based on the situation and circumstance you're in. And Paul is reminding them his hope is found in Christ, not in the world around him. Because the things of the world will fade away. So Christ is our ever-present guide and guiding us in our life to guide us through life, because the world around us is also trying to guide us. And if we're not going to live in Christ, if we're not going to be with Christ, the world will find something for you to do. And a lot of times, it's not beneficial for you. And everything that seems beneficial, maybe it's the wealth, maybe it's the cool shoes, maybe it's the cars, maybe it's the houses, maybe it's all this stuff. Guess what? It's all going to go away. It's all going to be gone. Some point, it's not going to be yours. So why are we putting our hope in things that are going to fade when we can have hope in Christ, which will never go away? And we need to find hope in him. So we need to have our hope in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, which has been fulfilled to us. And now the hope that we can receive in the presence of Jesus Christ, we can have by accepting him. And because of this hope we are to receive, our lives should be transformed. So we talk about that there's this promise of hope, that anticipated waiting of hope in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ promises us ever-present guidance in our lives through him. And because of this relationship that we're in, we should be transformed by hope. The hope we have in Christ should transform us. In Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So Paul speaks of this abundant hope that's rooted in trust in Jesus, resulting in joy and peace. But do you understand that it's rooted in Jesus Christ? By accepting and knowing Jesus Christ in your life, that is where we find hope. We can't just know Jesus Christ, know about Jesus Christ, and say, I'm going to get hope in that, but not have the relationship and not have the lifestyle with him and not be transformed in our own heart because of who Jesus Christ is in our life. Things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. It doesn't, even regardless of how close we feel to Christ, the world is going to bring us down. We're going to have moments of up and happiness, and we're going to have moments of sadness. But it's in those moments, regardless of up or down, where are you finding your hope? What is your first avenue that you go to in those times of need? The hope in Jesus Christ through his birth, taking on the sin of the world, and to be known for the characteristics of Wonderful Counselor. Are we going to him? Are we seeking him? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, this is who Jesus Christ is for us. This is the hope we have. He's always with us if we choose to believe in him. And through this, we should be transformed in our own life. Because if we truly have Jesus in our life, if we truly are living and communicating and building a relationship with Jesus Christ, that should change you. When you accepted Christ into your heart, if you have accepted Christ in your heart, there should be a transformation. The old is gone, the new has come. We should be transformed. You shouldn't just walk in here and play the part and walk out there and act the same. Because that's not benefiting anybody. That's not benefiting you. By truly knowing Christ, we should go, I love God so much. I love Jesus Christ so much that I cannot think of doing that. I love my family so much. I love my wife so much that I cannot think of doing things that would hurt them. I cannot think of walking away from that responsibility. Is it hard sometimes? Of course. Is it amazing every day? Of course. But because of that relationship, because of the love I have for that, I am transformed. I'm no longer the single kid running around doing whatever I wanted because I had no one to come home to. I have a family now. I'm a dad. I'm boring. I wear the same style clothes every day because I don't have much else time to think about it. I have elastic straps on my shoes because, man, slip-ons are way easier than tying my shoe because I can't bend over that far. But the thing I focus on is my family and that relationship. Are you doing that with Christ? Because he's providing the hope that you need in your life if you accept him. He's saying, here you have it, an abundance, more than you'll ever need through Christ. But you have to build the relationship. You have to seek him in your life. And it has to transform you. If you're not transformed, if you're not acting different in your life, if you're just going down the same old path and saying, I'm still going to do what I want to do, I'm still going to live my life the way I did before I knew him, then you are not transformed. Unless you were already doing everything perfect, which I'm sorry to say, we're human. I'm pretty sure we all have rooms for improvement. But the life, the hope that we find in Christ should transform us to live differently for him. It should change our perspective by filling us with joy and peace, regardless of our external circumstances. Are things going to happen in life? Yes. But when they happen, are you saying, Lord, you provide me peace in this moment. Lord, I don't understand. I'm praying for your guidance in my life. And I'm going to trust in you. So we need to build our trust in God to fully embrace his promises and letting your life reflect his hope. And then you seek to share this transformative hope with others to uplift and inspire those around you. So these truths, we begin to see this pattern that through the promise of hope, the assurance of Christ's presence, and the transformative that the hope brings, we are called into a deeper relationship with our Savior. And we are called to share the hope that we receive through Christ with the world around us. And our hope is in Jesus, but we also want to remember to share that hope with others. When we find hope in Christ, when we find it in our life, when we build that relationship and we start seeing who Christ is in our life and how much we are transformed by him, we should share that with the world. The world should see the difference. Your friends that knew you before should see a difference. And we're called to share that with the world. And as we go through these weeks of Advent, and we are anticipating and preparing for the coming of Christ on Christmas. But we're also preparing as a church, how I talked last week, of our vision of 55 and 25. Grow 55 and 25. To build our church through sharing the hope of Jesus Christ around us by giving intentionally, by reaching the world around us consistently, by obeying his commands, by obeying the word of God, by reading and learning who he is and obeying him faithfully, because that's when we can show that we're transformed. And when we do that, when we live a life transformed for him, we're going to learn to worship deeply. We worship through music, and that's where our mind goes first. But I'm talking about life worship. I'm talking about everything. Worshiping him in your action, worshiping him in your words, the way you are with people. Worshiping the Lord with everything you have. So through Advent, we're going through this process of anticipation for the coming Christ. But we're also going to be talking about this vision to continue this into next year. And through this vision, we're going to be sharing with our community the hope that they can also receive through Jesus Christ if they accept him into their life, into their heart. And for those of us who are here now, I don't want to assume anything, but if you're here now, if you're in this room and you're sitting there saying, Lord, I haven't received your hope. Lord, I know you. I know about you, but I really don't know you in my life. I need to take that next step of faith and really begin to know you and accept you into my heart. So there is hope with Christ in your life. And we're going to celebrate this during December, during Advent and the Christmas season. But I would also like to invite you into that relationship this morning, that maybe you want to go deeper into this relationship with Christ, that you want to experience the hope of Christ in your life. So this morning, before we take communion together, before we share in more worship, maybe you're feeling the tug on your heart. Maybe you're feeling the Lord say, hey, let's build this relationship. I want you to know who I am in your life. Allow this hope to permeate every area of your life. Invite him into every situation in your life. Seek his counsel and draw his strength. And by being torchbearers of his light in the world around us. And I pray our hearts will be filled with incredible joy and peace to demonstrate the beauty of Christ's hope in us, to ourselves, to our family, to the world around us. So that within the presence, our world and our lives would show who the wonderful counselor is, who the mighty God is, who the everlasting Father is, and who the Prince of Peace is. So at this time, I'd like to invite up the worship team. And this morning, I'm just going to pray really quick. And if that is you, if you are feeling to take that next step, to go a little bit deeper into your relationship, we're going to have that part of the prayer as well. And then we'll be handing out communion during this song and partaking in communion together. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope that we have in you through your coming birth, for you being with us in our lives, giving us guidance and a purpose. And this morning, as we've come into this season of Advent, I pray that we are reminded of who you are. I pray that those who have received the hope of you in their lives are transformed by it. But I also pray that those who feel that they would like to make that decision, that they realize, Lord, I'm not living for you, Lord. I know about you, but now I want to know you. Now I want to accept you. And if that's you this morning, I pray that the Lord would guide us and give you strength and courage to take this next step and commit your lives to him. And if you're here this morning and would like to pray this prayer with me, you can just repeat with me silently or however you want to accept the Lord this morning. And it's just, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins and ask for your forgiveness in my life. Please come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Take complete control of my life and help me walk in your footsteps daily by the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice and guiding me in my life from this day forward and providing me the hope of eternity with you. In your name we pray. Amen.